to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
Hello, good people. Well, I'm here to introduce what's the finale of our Wisdom I Wish I Had Earlier series. And we have three mini messages coming your way. And I hope you found this series helpful. The different voices we've had from around the world giving us little snippets of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And so today, good people, today, let me tell you who is coming up. First of all, we have Derek Gerard. And many of you will know Derek, a Perth local from Scarborough Community Church, formerly C3 Scarborough. And Derek is really influential in the marketplace business space here in Perth and across the nation, and also is the founder of the church that he leads with his wife, Kylie. Derek is coming up first, and then we have Dan Gorry. With his wife, Hannah, they lead C3 Church Currumbin on the other side of our great country. And Dan is an incredible discipler of people and I'd say a rising Bible scholar. Watch this space. And then we have, finishing us off this morning, we have Kathy Green. And so if you were here last week, then you would have seen Kathy's husband, Richard, on the screen. And Kathy and Richard lead C3 Church Ride in Sydney. And with the lockdowns, they have gone fully online for church with short notice this week, as many have over there. And so bless all of those online services, Lord. And Richard and Kathy are extraordinary humans, incredible church planners, and Kathy has a beautiful combination of humility and strength coming together, and just oozes wisdom. So you're gonna love hearing from these. And so can we lean in together? Remember, wisdom is not just garnering knowledge, but then it's our ability to activate knowledge in a way that produces flourishing. That would be wisdom. And so as we have heard over these last couple of weeks, let's open our hearts. And really the lean in is God, how can I activate something that I'm hearing so that I can live wisely in this world and ultimately see flourishing, a flourishing that he has provided for us, see that in us and then flowing through us to others. So God, we open our hearts to you. We say, ask for wisdom, and Lord, that you're going to pour it into our worlds. And so here we are, God, our hearts, our minds are open. Lord, would you continue to pour into us, Lord, that wisdom would be our portion. Lord, as we walk through complexities in our world, and as we're faced with decisions every day, God, we are asking for a wisdom from heaven to be alive inside of us. And so this morning, God, pour in. We're here, we're ready, be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Enjoy.
Hey, church, so good to be with you today. Thank you so much for the opportunity of letting me come and share briefly with you on your Proverbs series and Wisdom I Wish I Had Earlier. My name's Derek Gerard from Local Community Church, and Jason M have asked me to talk about the topic of money. Now, before you go, oh, here comes another money talk, I think it's good to realize that money is actually the second most talked about topic in the Bible. Love, of course, is first, but then there's more about money than there is about faith and prayer and other things that you think might come up. 10% of the Proverbs talk about money, and almost 25% of Jesus' parables actually talk about money. So I think it's something that we have to make sure we kind of have regular dialogue about. Now, right up front, I'd love you to try and catch the first thought you had when I mentioned the word money. Did you switch off and go, here comes another talk, not interested? Did you kind of freak out and go, oh, money, I never have enough, I'm stressing about it, it's just always a stress in my life? Do you go the other way and go, I love money, it's this opportunity to be generous and bless people? Like, what was that first thought? And hopefully today I'm going to help you figure out where that thought comes from and help us get a healthy theology on money. Now, the proverb I'm speaking out of is Proverbs chapter 22, verse 2. And it says this, "The rich and the poor have this in common, the Lord made them all." Now, I think what this says right up front is that our righteousness, our spiritual maturity, is not defined by our earthly wealth. We need to have a really healthy connection between our wealth and our spiritual journey and have a balanced view. Because neither wealth or poverty is correlated to how close you are to God and whether you are more or less blessed by Him. I've had times in my life where I've had no earnings, no money. I've had times in my life when I was called into ministry where God told Kyle and I to sell everything we had. We sold our house, we sold our car, we gave up everything. And we've had other times in our life where we've had abundance and almost more money than we'd needed for a lifetime. And neither's right or wrong. They're just seasons that God has got us in. And what I would hate for you to do from today is kind of take away either a poverty mindset or a prosperity doctrine, both of which can almost be justified by scripture, right? We can look at the rich young ruler and go, well, God clearly said to give everything up and I need to not have money and justify that. Or we could look at a Joseph and Abraham and go, well, they were some of the richest people in the world. So clearly God shows His blessing by the way that He blesses people financially. And neither of those things are true. It's about a balanced perspective and going, God is sovereign. God knows He's in this season of your life and it's probably where you're meant to be and He's doing some stuff and we just need to be obedient to the resources and the things He's put in our hands for this time of life. Now, all of that said, I think we do have to talk about wealth and richness because whether you realize it or not, we are wealthy. We live in this really wealthy city. And if you look at what's called the global rich list, that tells us that if you earn the bottom Centrelink payments in our country, that actually puts you in the top 15% of the world's wealthiest people. And if you earn the average Australian wage, which is about $81,000, that puts you in the top 0.5%. So we are wealthy. It doesn't always feel like that contextually, but we are. Most people listening to this are going to be wealthy people in the context of the world. And Jesus said to us that you cannot love both God and money. Now, that is slightly not accurate because the word money, we need to translate it to its original meaning, which is a word called mammon. And mammon is an Aramaic word that means to desire pursuit of wealth as a primary goal. Now, money itself is not bad. I mean, money is just this made-up thing that we've created in the world, has no power. It's just something that we use to trade. But mammon is a spirit, and that has power, and that can be a problem. See, any spirit in our life that is trying to control our heart and our loyalty that's not God is taking us away from God. It's becoming the center. And so let's just talk a little bit about the traits of this spirit of mammon. Now, keep in mind, it's runs rampant in our world. So it's highly likely that some things I say, they're just going to resonate and go, oh man, I didn't realize. Because one of the things mammon does is it blinds us to actually seeing mammon in our own life. Mammon, of course, wants to fight to be the priority in our life. It wants to be our God and it wants our allegiance. And what that means is it shifts our worship and our focus away from the creator to created things, like material things and the stuff that we just put into our lives. Mammon does really strange things to people because it tells you that you are not rich. And, you know, I've just pointed out in a global context, you are rich, but mammon will tell you you're not. And of course, you know, feel like that because there's always someone you know that's richer than you. So you'll feel like this desire that you need to have more. That's mammon, the spirit of mammon in your life. Mammon usually tells you that you don't have a problem with money. So if you're one of those people that the minute I said the word money at the start of this session and you just switched off or go, that's not for me, or I don't have a problem with money, I think that's probably the spirit of mammon kind of in your life. And you know, as a pastor, I know this is true because I've never had someone who, you know, we have a lot of people come and confess their sin, but no one comes and says, Pastor, I want to come and confess my greed. It doesn't happen because mammon is telling you that you're not a greedy person. Mammon tells you that you always need more, and it tells you that money will fix all your problems, that you'll have power, you'll have status, and you'll have control. Now, if you look around, mammon is like so like intrinsically linked in our life, and it's very subtle in some ways. But you just think about when you read the paper, when you watch TV, all the advertising you see, all of it tells you over and over and over again, you need more, you need the bigger, you need the better, you need the shinier, the silkier, the faster, whatever it is. It's like, you know, we live in this massively materialistic consumerist society, and that's mammon just doing its thing. And this is the world we live in. So what does it mean to not be, you know, driven by that and owned by that? So what I'd love to do is get really practical with this wisdom literature and give you a couple of things to think about. Now, the first thing is to identify mammon in your life. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I want you to figure out, is that me? Now, keep in mind, all of us are living with this kind of thing around us, so it's highly likely you'll find one you respond to, but let's go. So do you have anxiety over unmet needs? Do you have fear about your financial future? Are you living with an attitude of a consumer rather than a steward? Are you living beyond your means? Do you have a tendency of impulse buying? And are you not giving part of your money as an offering to God in some way? Now, if that's the first step and you feel like, yeah, one of those things has kind of got me, God's speaking to my heart right now, then the second thing is, of course, to repent. When we put something in place of God in our life, that's sin. And but we don't need to be worried or afraid of that. The Bible tells us to repent. So you know, right now you can go like literally before God, I'm so sorry that I have replaced you with this subtle, sneaky little thing called mammon has found its way into my life. And so we can just repent and confess that to God and say you're sorry. But then, of course, repentance is about turning the other way and finding a new behavior. Now, there's lots of ways we could find new behaviors with money and finances in our life. But the one I just want to finish with today is this third step in getting really practical about the concept of money. And the best way to defeat mammon in your life is to get really, really generous. And giving money away does not, you can't buy your way into heaven, right? You can't pay off your sin with money. But what you can do with your money is worship God. I think when we're giving our money, we're literally fulfilling Jesus' greatest commandments of loving God and other people. Because when it comes to that, either we're going to love people and we're going to use our money, or we're going to love money and use people. And so money is this really interesting kind of signal of that. Literally, giving money, I think, is one of the most tangible ways we can worship God in our life. Yes, we can pray. Yes, we can worship and sing. And yes, we can do all those things. But when you have to sacrifice something that you've earned, that you feel like is yours, and give that up, that level of worship looks very different. And so I think having a spirit of generosity upon us, where we're constantly prepared to just let go, not hold tightly to the things that God has already given us, and worship Him by giving and regularly giving in whatever form that looks like. Yes, give to the church, but give to the poor, give to charity. What does that look like in your life? But giving is the most tangible way I think we can worship God, and the easiest way to defeat mammon in your life. And of course, when it comes to generosity, it's not about waiting till you've got enough. I've spent some time with some really, really wealthy people, and my wife likes to say that wealth just magnifies the character within. And I can tell you, these people have got more and they're not more generous. Generosity is about what's going on in your heart right now. So let me encourage you to finish by saying, be really generous, worship God with your money, and hope this has helped, and look forward to seeing you soon. Bless you.
Hey, church. Today, for the series on Proverbs, I'd love to look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding." Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend, or the New King James will say, lean not on your own understanding. It's quite a powerful verse. It's quite a big thing to juxtapose the trusting in God or trusting in our understanding. And today I want to explore, why would we trust in God over our understanding? Why would we put Him as number one and not what we think or feel in a moment? Why would we put our heart in and on God? The word trust there, betar, literally means to cling to, put your confidence in, secure yourself to. What a powerful thought for Christians today, not just to be Christians who attend a church semi-regularly and have a moral compass that acts similar to Christ, but instead be people known as those who are throwing their lives and hearts upon God. Powerful thing. And for me, it comes down to this. Do you see God as trustworthy? How can you trust in the Lord with all your heart if you don't truly see Him as trustworthy? And there's many things we could look at today about who God is, but there's two things I would love to focus on. Number one is that God is good. Number two is that God is for you. God is good. Why is God good? How can we know God is good? And the often question is, well, if there's so much evil and pain and suffering in the world, how could God be good? And the number one thing I need you to understand when it comes to this question and this point is that the presence of evil in this world is not a result of God's creation, but a result of our rejection. In my opinion, God didn't create evil. Instead, what we did is we rejected God's ways and allowed evil to come into the world. Back in Adam and Eve, what we see is that God said, just don't eat of this one tree. Enjoy my plan. Enjoy me. Enjoy my life. And when we said, no, thank you, God, and we gave in to the temptation to be our own God, we trusted in our own understanding to be our own God, that resulted in evil coming into the world. And so the things we see right now, the pain and the suffering and the hurt, they are not from God. The Bible says that God is life. The Bible says God is love. The Bible says God is light. And when we reject life and light and love, then what we get is the opposite of life and light and love. That is the pain and suffering we see in the world. It's a consequence of pushing God away. But He is good. He is truly good. And the next thing is that He is for you. How on earth could I trust that God is for me? Well, after mankind rejected God and pushed God away, God went out of His way to come and get us back on a rescue plan. The good God wanted to demonstrate that He was for us. Good God wanted to demonstrate that He was for us. And how did He do that? We read in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 10, it was God's good plan to crush Him, Jesus, and cause Him, Jesus, grief. Yet when His life is made an offering for sin, when Jesus died on the cross, He will have many descendants. And catch this, this is now where Jesus comes to. Now, He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in His hands. Once again, it was God's good plan to send Jesus to the cross. What on earth? How could it be a good plan for Jesus to suffer and die? Well, it's very easy. It was God demonstrating that not only is He good, but He's for us. Jesus going to the cross was for us. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2 will say that it was for the joy set before Him, Jesus endured the cross. And that joy, friends, is you and I. That joy is you being able to come back into a relationship. Once again, we rejected the goodness, we rejected Him. Sin came into the world and broke that relationship. The joy that Jesus saw was us being in a relationship again with God. And you and I can only do that because of the cross. So now we look at this beautiful verse again in Proverbs. Trust in God with all of your heart. Why? Because He's very good and He loves you. He is for you. So much so that Jesus went to the cross. And so when it comes to our understanding, let's happily give it up compared to the goodness and the grace of Jesus Christ. Friends, let's trust in God with all our heart. God bless.
Wisdom I wish I had earlier. Or another great way to say that perhaps would be things I really needed to learn. And one day, several years ago, I was walking into church with my Bible, and a lady who was in my own Connect group stopped me and she said to me, "Oh, are you preaching today, Kathy?" And I said, "Oh, yes." And she said, "Oh, dear, we're going to get bashed over the head again." And I was horrified. I was so upset. After I'd preached, I went home and I said, "Lord, is this really true? Do I really bash people over the head?" And the Lord replied to me and He said to me, "There is always a better way to say it." I really went on a great mission then to be careful of my words. But I realized it was actually a matter of the heart. About this time, I actually had a dream. And in the dream, I saw a man, and it was an older man, and he was a man of great authority, but equally a man of great humility. And as he walked towards me and looked at me, I could feel kindness coming from him. And this kindness completely overcame me. And when I woke up, I had the words in my mind that the Lord is the origin of kindness, and I realized that this dream had been from God, and it was about His kindness, not just towards me, but towards all. This had a huge impact on me, this dream. I would think about it often, and I began to search diligently the scriptures, any scripture I could find on kindness. In Proverbs 3:3 in the New Living Translation, this is one of my favorites, it says, "Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder and write them deep within your heart." Some versions actually say to wear kindness like a necklace. I particularly love those versions because a necklace can be seen, and so can kindness, actually. Kindness can be seen, kindness can be heard, and kindness can be felt. This is the great truth about God, that we can feel His kindness towards us. Actually, I love the candor of the Bible, because equally it talks about in Psalm 73 verse 6, it says that pride also can be worn like a necklace, and it says pride is their necklace and they cover themselves with violence. So you see, these things can be seen and heard. Pride can be seen and heard, and kindness can be seen and heard by others. God expressed His kindness to us in Jesus. Titus 3:4 is beautiful. It says, "But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy." You see, we in turn have this opportunity to clothe ourselves in kindness. It says this in Colossians 3:12. And this is in order that the love of the Lord can be seen. When you walk in kindness, when you behave to others in kindness, this is the currency of the kingdom of God. You see, God expressed His kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Now, sometimes we find this hard, but one of the beautiful things about kindness is that it delights the Lord. He is delighted when you are kind. Jeremiah 9:24 is one of my favorite scriptures, and it says that the Lord says, "I'm the Lord of all the earth who exercises loving kindness and justice and mercy throughout all the earth." And then He says, "In these things I delight." The Lord delights in your kindness. It delights Him when you are kind to others. But equally, it has the power and the effect of the kingdom of God. This transforms hearts. This brings people to Jesus when they see and feel the kindness of the Lord. Sometimes it's hard, of course, to be kind to others. You know, they're difficult people, and it's hard. And one day I found this cute little verse in Philippians 1:8, and Paul says this, among other things. He says, "I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus." And when I read that, I thought, oh my goodness. You see, human affection has to be earned. Our human affection is entirely dependent on how people behave towards us. We will love them if they're nice, and if they're not, we don't. So human affection is quite fickle. But this affection of Christ Jesus that Paul talks about is supernatural. And did you know, this is available to you and to me. This supernatural affection of Christ Jesus we can have in our heart for the purposes of the kingdom. Because you see, it's not about what they do, but this kindness is about who Jesus is. And we can all have this same affection and supernatural affection in our heart. When the Holy Spirit writes these things deep within our heart, we see the power of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is revealed through our kindness. Go well, Hepburn Heights.
Go well. Yes, thank you, Kathy. Yeah, we can. A bit of applause. Power-packed little snippets of wisdom. You guys are awesome. God wants His wisdom alive in us, where we would be continually growing in wisdom, living in a way that leads towards flourishing, our flourishing in Him and others flourishing around us. God wants that for you and I. Do you want that? To you. And starring? Good, it's good. I thought so. Sheila McCrudden wants wisdom too. More, even more, Sheila. It's good. Pritchie, are you in? It's good. Can we stand? Can together we open our hands and our hearts before God? I am so grateful that God is good, that He's for us. So come on, as you stand with hands open, heart open. Again, I just want you to ask God for an even greater dimension of wisdom. Like it says in James, we need to understand our extraordinary need for supernatural wisdom. And God, we want more as we stand here together as a church community. Lord, we thank you for what you've shown us, what you've taught us, how you've built and developed us. Some of us newer through the days or months. God, others here for years and decades. But God, we humble ourselves before you. We come again and we ask for supernatural wisdom to stir afresh in our head and heart. So just go ahead in your words. Just, Lord, I ask for wisdom. I ask for wisdom, God. Wisdom in how to walk out this life, how to steward the days, the moments, the opportunities. God, a deep, supernatural wisdom. Go ahead, your words. Just keep going, God. Help me. There may be specific scenarios right now. We're just going to ask specifically, God, I need wisdom in this area, in my parenting, or in relationships, in business, and in my job right now. Go ahead, ask. Present that request before Him. Here I am, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. James says, if anyone needs wisdom, ask. He'll give generously without finding fault. We thank you, God, that as you look at us here and now today, as our lives are surrendered to Jesus, we thank you that you see us. It's like that perfect reflection of Christ in us. And so you don't find fault, but you generously give and pour in. And so we come humbly but boldly before the throne of grace. And Lord, we thank you that we receive today God's supernatural wisdom to help us walk out our days. Lord, that we could truly be the light bearers that you have called us to be, because you are alive and ever growing on the inside, because the victory of Christ is not just a concept that lives on the shelf, but God is real and drives and empowers. Lord, where your Spirit is released to do things that only you can do in us and through us. God, we dive into the adventure of what Christianity is. So move afresh, Lord, in us and through us, mighty God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. We're going to worship again in just a moment. You can open your eyes for a second. And can I encourage us that, you know, when we pray and ask God for something, He answers from a place of perfect insight. Perfect knowledge, just the gap between our expectation and His wisdom is unfathomable. And so if we expect the answer to come in our exact specifications according to what we believe is best, then we limit the wisdom of God times a zillion. And so part of what He wants to do, and I love this, I mostly love this, is that God wants to continually blow our mind, to release us from the limitations where we box them in, to our experience, to our personality, to the way we want it to happen, and just releases us to see things afresh from that perspective of faith, from the way He does. And one of the ways that can be helpful is when we ask God for something, so often he'll get it to us or get us to it. He'll get it to us or get us to it. And so when we pray and ask God for something, I think our sense in that moment of prayer is, it's like, God, is there a next step for me here? Are you calling me to do something in response to this prayer? Especially, you know, for us, where we live in such a consumer society, where I think by default we can come to God with a consumer mentality without even realizing. And so we've got to keep pulling it. And one of the ways God does is he wants us to be active in the journey with Him, not because He needs us to be, but because of what it produces in us. And so maybe as you've asked for wisdom, maybe there's a supernatural element where God gets it to us. And I'm believing that for me and for us, that there's supernatural wisdom that's just like a gift from God, where he amplifies that which is in us. But that's Him getting it to us. But often there can be the calling, or like getting us to it. So then the prompting is, hey, my son, my daughter, you want wisdom? Awesome. Here's a little bit more. And now here's how you can activate, move, and grow a little bit more. And so what's that for you? Maybe it's reading that book that has been looking at you for a while, and you know the cover really well, or the spine on the shelf, and maybe it's pulling that out, and there's a prompting to, yeah, I need to read that. Maybe like I said on the first week, the thing for you is, okay, every day I'm going to read a chapter of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs, and so across a month, you're going to cover the book. And so every day, chapter of Proverbs, chapter of Proverbs, and allow God to build wisdom in you that way. For some of you here, I think C3 College is a brilliant next step, and you know there's something, you're a little stuck and need to do something to break out of the place where you are, then coming and doing one of the night units on a Thursday night, C3 College. You can do audit level, so there's no homework, but it's this step of faith and stir and build. And so what is it for you? What is it for you? Guide us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. We're in on this crazy adventure. Thank you, Jesus. And what I'm demonstrating for us this morning is that sometimes we need to remove ourselves from the rush. And it's good to be active, doing, serving, letting His gifts be alive and utilized in us and through us. But that happens most fully when we're most full of Him. And those who wait upon the Lord, He'll renew their strength, fill us, empower us. So for many of us here, I want this wisdom series. I think a next step for so many is to take some moments to pull away from the busy blur and engage with the glory of God. Lock away 10 minutes in the morning before you do anything else. Spend some moments late at night, however you're wired, whatever that looks like. And thank you, God. Let Him fill, speak, encourage. I can feel some of you now like, come on, move, next thing, come on, come on. Like on the inside, you're like, come on, come on, come on, come on. And there's so much good in that, but we need to know every day, we need to be able to pull that back and say, no, no, before I go, I'm going to be with my God. Before you step into that meeting, take a moment, God. That area where it's not going so great right now. Just keeping on doing the stuff isn't going to, God, what do I allow Him to? He is so good. He is so for you. Ah, we love you, God. Come on, we're going to sing together. Thanks, Shari, lead us.
Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.